Welcome to Pick Up and Deliver, the podcast where I pick up my audio recorder when I step off the train and deliver an episode to you while I walk home. I'm Brendan Riley. Well, good evening, listeners. It is the end of my first very long day of the semester, and I can't say it was the best. My big class went okay, but not ideal. And I had some other snafus along the way that led to, well, what can I say, just not the best first day of the semester. Here's hoping things will turn around. That said, I'm really delighted to be able to talk to you today. It is September 4th, I believe. Yep, September 4th. And I'm excited to be able to share with you some news. I'm actually going to put this episode out right away because it fits the timeline I'm trying to achieve, where I put out an episode as close to the beginning of the month as I can. Monday, September 3rd was Labor Day, which is a day of not working in the U.S. At least most white-collar workers don't work, I think. And blue-collar workers who do stuff like construction generally don't work on Labor Day, but customer service people tend to still have to. Classic problem with U.S. approach to holidays. Today is the beginning of September, so I'm here to do my post-August report. I'm looking forward to sharing with you all of the news about how I did in my board gaming in August. In August, I set as the top of my stack the three games that I wanted to try to get played that month the following. Raptor, a two-player Bruno Cathala, Bruno Faiduti game about dinosaurs and scientists trying to capture them. Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the board game, or Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the game. Two different board games about the eponymous vampire murderer and her gang of thug friends trying to kill some innocent vampires who are just trying to chow down on some teens. I have both of these games, and I thought if I played either one of them, I would count for the top of the stack. Finally, the third game in the top of the stack was Rampage, which has been refashioned Terror in Meeple City due to, I believe, a IP dispute. It's about lizards trashing a city. You can see why, if you don't have license to the word Rampage and you make a game about giant lizards trashing a city, perhaps you might face some legal trouble. So those were the three games on the top of my stack. I will, at the end of the episode, let you know how I did. So, 10 for 10 update. As you know, I am doing a 10 for 10, which means that I picked out 10 games that I would try to play 10 times each over the course of the year. This accounts for 100 plays and indicates 10 games that I thought I don't play enough and I really would like to play some more. Of my 10 games, I have now completed two of them, or as of August 31st, I had completed two of them. Gloomhaven I had previously completed, and we're up to 17 plays of that, only 10 of which count in my 10 for 10. And Terra Mystica I now played twice more, which puts me at 10 plays of that. Honestly, this would be out of my reach if not for Board Game Arena. I'm glad to have this asynchronous website where I can play Terra Mystica. I generally have one or two games of that running constantly. And so I think it'll end up being a game that I play a ton, but only in the asynchronous mode. So you purists who think only tabletop plays should count in your 10 for 10, I guess I have let you down. So the other eight games that I've got on my 10 for 10, Stuffed Fables, still at 7 plays. Pandemic Legacy Season 2, still at 2 plays, or 8 plays, excuse me. Ex Libris, still at 3 plays. Century Golem Edition, still hovering at 9 plays. I was hoping to get that knocked out in August, but I did not. Motainai, still at 3 plays. And Via Nebula, still at 3 plays. I did advance two other games forward in progress. Roll for the Galaxy is a fun little dice roller. And that one, I got one more play in. That's one I am really aiming to get played in the next couple months. I got my son to play it once with me in September already, and I've started playing on a Board Game Arena, so that one I am definitely going to get played. But the big progress, the big winner this month, my wife and I busted out Arkham Horror LCG. I've talked about this a bit before. Arkham Horror is one of my favorite games. It's really climbing up the ranks for me. The LCG format is great because it gives you a ton of variety, and the structured story works really well for the kind of games my wife and I like to play. We played through the initial Night of the Zealot scenario again. Of course, this was just before I got the new Return to Night of the Zealot cards, so we didn't play that, but we played through Night of the Zealot, and then we started on the Dunwich Legacy, and we played four, count them, four adventures in the Dunwich Legacy for a total of seven plays of Arkham Horror LCG, meaning I went from zero plays at the end of July to seven plays at the end of August, which means that I am at 63 plays out of my 100 at the end of August. That puts me in very good position to use the last 4 months of the year, September, October, November, December, to clear out the collection. I have fewer than 10 plays a month to do. So that's very exciting. On the downside, I am losing my usual Tuesday night game night because of my teaching schedule. So getting some of these plays in might be even harder. First plays this month. One of the things I like to keep track of when I play, oh, by the way, I don't think I just did the general stats. I had 64 game plays this month, or in August, and I played 37 different games. I also did 5 play tests of games for our company, something I've started tracking now. So first plays this month, I had, as of the beginning of August, I had played 63 new games this year. Games that I'd never played before that I was ticking off that list. In August, I managed to play 9 more. We had Werewords, a fun little social deduction game built around language. Gunkamono, abstract tile laying game with a basically nonsense Japanese theme. Ninjitsu, a fun little, I reported on these in my post Toggle Top Day episode, but in Ninjitsu is a fun little card game, nice filler. A Few Acres of Snow, a very fun Martin Wallace area control game. The Castles of Burgundy, a delightful Stefan Feld game that I played on Boîte à Jeux. This is definitely a game I want to play in person. I think I would do much better if I understood it and played it in person than playing it online. I also frankly just kind of jumped in having watched the Radio video but not really paying attention to how scoring works, and so I did pretty badly. I think the next game of it I shall do better. I have started another game, but that'll take a couple months to play. Azul, I tried for the first time and is really neat. With each play, I like it a little bit better, so that's exciting. Raids is a new game I picked up. I actually mentioned that last month as a game that I wanted to get. It was near the top of my wish list. From Dunstan and Gilbert, the pair who designed Elysium, Raids is from Yellow Publishing, so it's got fantastic components. And it's a delightful little filler that feels very much like Takedo with Vikings who fight. So Takedo's fun, but there's no player interaction at all except for the most basic worker placement action of I blocked the space you wanted. In Raids, it's the same thing. The person who's in, they have to go at least as far as the next person up did, and then they either have to go all the way to the front of the line and pick something, or they stop and fight with someone else for one of the spaces. It's an interesting game, really fun. Raids. And then I had 2 more new to me games for a total of 72 new to me games played so far this year. Yowza, really making a dent in the new to me category. Although that's not a dent, it's not like I keep a list of games I haven't played, but you'll see some overlap with the shelf of opportunity, I'm sure. I also like to keep track of Out of the Dust plays. These are games that I haven't played in more than a year. I've already mentioned on the podcast Arkham Horror LCG, and a little while ago I mentioned A Study in Emerald. You'll recall I also played Onitama for the first time in a long time, went at the Toggle Top Day. And the game Hostage Negotiator I hadn't played for 1 year and 3 months, so I was glad to get that out again. In fact, I played it twice and I won the second game, so that was wonderful. All right, so lots of progress made in a variety of different ways I'm gonna hop over in my Board Game Geek account to my wish list to get a sense of what games off my wish list, or how my wish list has changed since I did an episode about it not that long ago. But it turns out it has changed a bit, in part just because I had some money come in, and in part because there were a couple auctions that turned out nicely. And so, in order to make sure that I keep up with the games I want, I've been tweaking the want list. So in August, here's how it changed since I updated it. I wanted to add Terraforming Mars Prelude, Dead of Winter Warring Colonies, and Terraforming Mars Colonies to the list. I marked those as games I wanted to put on there, or expansions. I removed Gen 7 A Crossroads game because after looking it up on Plaid Hat and seeing how much it cost, I decided it was not something I wanted to invest in. I also have a buddy who's going to get a copy. I removed Raids because I picked it up. And I removed League of Six because I picked it up in a cheap auction. And it actually marks the end of my search for Vladimir Succi games. I now have all six. So as an aside, a couple days ago I bought Terraforming Mars Prelude, so that even won't even get added to the list. So making good progress on my want list. I'm sure I'll figure out a couple more to add to that. So finally, Shelf of Opportunity, and then I will tell you how I did on the top of the stack. So as you recall, the Shelf of Opportunity is my tracking of games that I have that I've never played, and my intention or goal of removing them one by one as I play them. So a few changes in August. I added three games, or I acquired and played three games this month. That's Werewords, Deluxe, Raids, and Azul. All three of those I mentioned as first plays. I bought them this month as well, so it was nice to play and cycle them right onto the active shelf. I'm afraid I added five games to the Shelf of Opportunity. Again, part of this comes from just the rhythm of auctions and other summertime acquisitions. As a result, I got Colony, the Bezier Games game, 20th Century, the Vladimir Succi game, his second game, actually, League of Six, his first game, The Game of 49, and Quarantine. Both of these were available very cheap in an auction, and I picked them up. Game of 49 is not quite what I was thinking of. I think maybe I was thinking of Number 9, which is another game that came out recently, and it's very different. But I'll give Game of 49 a chance before I sell it back out again. I did get three games off the Shelf of Opportunity, A Few Acres of Snow I already mentioned, and then the two that were at the top of my stack that I played, and that would be Raptor and Rampage. Raptor was a really interesting two-player game where one player is a dinosaur hunter and you have this team of 10 scientists or something, and the other player is a mama raptor and five babies. And the goal is to get three babies off the board or eat all the scientists. Really fun. Nice mechanism. Each player has a hand of 9 cards and you can play one of those cards. The player who plays they're numbered 1 through 9, and they have a power on them and a number. Well, the player who plays the lower number gets to do the action on the card, and the player who plays the higher number gets to take action points. And the action points that you get are the difference between the lower number and the higher number. So the ideal position to be in as a player is either you play the high number when your opponent plays a very low number card, or you play any number when your opponent plays a number one number higher than you. Because if you play a number where your opponent has played one number higher than you, you're getting maximum value for your special action, and they're getting almost none of the regular actions. It's a really interesting game. There is, of course, a card that lets you pick up all your cards. So as the round goes along, you can see what cards they have left and predict a little bit what they might play. It's really, really fun. So that's Raptor. The other one is Rampage, like I said, also called Terror from Meeple City. We played it on August 31st, and my son liked it a bit. I kind of got it because I thought he would like it. And then he wanted to play it again and again and again. We played it 3 or 4 times in the next 2 or 3 days. And as of the last play, he declared it his favorite game. So definite win, Terror in Maple City. Go ahead and watch the Will Wheaton tabletop episode where they play it. It's a good way to get a sense of what the game is like. Really fun. Definitely a keeper and a plus to be in my collection. I will admit, I did not get either of the Buffy games played. I have moved them onto this month's list, along with Shipyard and Synod, S-Y-N-O-D, and one other game, which I can't remember at the moment. But you can go to Board Game Geek, or you can go to the Pick Up and Deliver Podcast Guild, and you'll find a link to my shelf of opportunity, or my top of the stack list, where you can see what it is I'm planning to play in September. I hope you swing by and let me know what you've been playing. Drop by Board Game Geek Guild 3269, and I will look forward to talking to you about more gameplays as we move along. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Brought to you by Rattlebox Games.